Okay. So this is a, actually this is way over complicated. I did write this for this, well, I wrote it for somebody else, but what this does is it just checks a directory and sees if any files have changed, and if they have, it just emails you links to the new ones. And that's really all you need to do. You don't need to touch your voicemail application or anything. You know, it's simple, it's useful for other things, and you know, you can do kind of clean hacks like this if you have a powerful system. By the way, the Bayonne is used commercially by, you know, lots of big companies. We're doing the enterprise call center for Sun with it. There's just it's a robust, mature app. Okay, so what kind of hardware? Okay, very good question. There are a lot of different vendors of. Let me see if I have some. Okay, I don't. There are a lot of different vendors of computer telephony cards out there. Very few of them actually have open source drivers, which is kind of bad, because usually what happens is a kernel will rev and your driver will no longer load, or you just can't use a newer kernel or something, and it stinks. But it's livable. You can deal with it. Intel Dialogic has a full line of cards that you can use with use on Linux, Linux only. Voicetronix is a company, an Australian company, that you can use. They make a line of analog cards, basically. They'll do call logging. They'll do voice response. You can implement a PBX with it, with their stuff. They've got some pretty cool stuff. And QuickNet is another company. We're going to show you a QuickNet card. We actually have a Voicetronix card in here doing this messaging demo. And then we've got a QuickNet card in there. We're going to show you a voice over IP demo with that. And QuickNet makes some single-port, low-density cards that are designed for, you know, SOHO-type environments or just, you know, personal use. They can be used in gateways. You can throw one or two of these QuickNet cards into a gateway. They do hardware compression and echo cancellation, so it makes your voice, basically it can improve the quality of your voice over IP voice over IP call. What are we at? Okay. It's not too bad. What's that? Okay, let me do some terminology. You don't know what a codec is? A codec, yeah, okay, I know. The question is, will your codec scale automatically on the fly if your traffic gets heavy? And the answer is generally no. What will happen is codecs usually are rated at a certain amount of bandwidth. They're usually named ITU names like G711, you know, G723. A lot of them are proprietary, and even if you reverse engineered them, you couldn't use them. A lot of the really good ones, and it's really sad. That a lot of the good voice over IP codecs are proprietary. You would just have to license them. It would be illegal to use them even if you reverse engineer them. But most of these cards, the companies that make these cards that are specifically designed to do voice over IP, these guys actually license the codecs and put it in hardware on the card so you don't have to purchase it. Also, Microsoft NetMeeting has licenses for most of the codecs in it. We're going to show you basically a Linux box here, one of our next demos, showing a voice over IP gateway on a Linux box and a Microsoft NetMeeting client, just to show you the interoperability. The situation isn't hopeless. There are people working on really high quality, low bandwidth codecs for voice over IP use that are open source. There's one called Speaks out there. Speaks, yeah. So there's quite a bit of useful stuff out there. You can also use G711 and GSM. Those are two codecs that are about, you know, cell phone quality or toll quality, and they work. They're not as nice as the other codecs. So we're a little behind on that. Do I have any questions on this stuff, on the demo? How Bayonne works, how the three-tiered architecture? Yes, sir. handsets. Well, basically what happens is when you have a server like this, it's just got ports in back. There are four ports back here. And based on the card that you buy, it's an interface card, okay? You generally will buy an interface card to either lines from the phone company, trunk side lines, or station side lines, which just connect straight to phones. All your voicemail systems, your answering machines, they just connect to the phone company. You. No, there is an open SS7 stack. It's an out of band protocol. There are cards that have, you know, everything under the sun built into the card in software. Dialogic actually has this thing. Back in the day, we used to make them out of 286s, and we'd put a whole bunch of these Dialogic cards in there, and they have this out of band bus, just a ribbon cable going across all of the cards, and everything would be done on the cards. You name it. These days, we're doing. Actually, I'll show you another slide on this. We're doing what's called host processing. We're taking everything out of the expensive DSP cards, and we're putting it into host processing. We're implementing it all in commodity software, making the interface cards very cheap, making it possible to build inexpensive systems. You've had your hand up a long time. What's that? Actually, the Intel cards all support ISDN, primary rate. There are... pardon? Yes, it does. And actually, those are all supported by Intel. They've got a full ISDN primary rate stack. They work, you know, internationally, everywhere in the world. There are basic rate ISDN drivers. I don't have much experience with basic rate ISDN drivers because, frankly, you know, it's just not viable where I live. And what's that? We've used the Fritz card. There's this cheap card called the Fritz Cappy card. It's a Cappy driver, right? Well, it's called the Fritz card, but it's a Cappy driver, Cappy and Fritz. You... Yeah. Actually, definitely. I think people will always be compressing it because you'll want to get the most out of your bandwidth. You'll also be doing some other complex things like echo cancellation that are all, you know, basically a cheap echo canceller has like four or five FFTs in it. It's a very complicated piece of software to write, and really good ones, you know, have a lot more. You're always going to have a lot of fairly complex software, at least I think in our lifetime, you know, compressing this stuff and, you know, processing the audio because you have to do it in a packet-based system. I've already taken one from you. I'm going to take one more question from you, sir. Oh, well, I think you actually had it up longer. You in the back? Can somebody relay that? Yeah, actually, that's another thing that you can do in host processing. We actually have the Voicetronics card does that in host processing. It's got an echo canceller that works in host processing. It's not as efficient as doing it on a DSP, of course. Intel cards generally do all this on DSPs. They'll bridge calls. There's a simple command in Bayonne CC script called join, and you just join two ports together. I can show you that. Let me actually cover a little bit more material before I turn it over to Jason, because I just want to touch on a few of the questions that were asked. No, go for it. Yeah. What's that? Small capacity systems. SS7 is not generally used in small capacity systems. It's usually an out-of-band protocol. It's used between central offices. There are a few people who are using OpenSS7, like Lockheed uses it between their offices. You know, I really don't know how prevalent it is, how heavily used it is, because I haven't used it. I just don't have time. Yeah, I'm working on this. I'm working on small systems, actually, up to, say, 96 ports per box. I don't know if any of you guys saw this paper. Okay, if any of you saw this, way back in, like, the late 80s or mid-80s, there was this paper done at SGI about graphics cards. And it was called The Wheel of Reincarnation, which I'm sure a million things have been called. Does anybody have a copy of that paper? Okay. There's a tentative. You do? You actually do? Wow. Okay. I think we're supposed to give away the big computer to the woman with the biggest boobs. I didn't. That's not me. That's actually what we were told. But the IP, yeah, CONSTAF.
Oh, and we need evidence.
And the IPX, however, is yours. Please email me a copy of that paper. So the Wheel of Reincarnation basically described how you started out with these really special purpose things like DSPs. They're, you know, graphics processors. And then eventually the host processors got more powerful and you discovered that you could do a lot more with host processing. And the graphics cards became less powerful. But over time, what would happen is that people would realize that, you know, there'd be another generation of graphics chips and it'd take it away and it'd be more powerful. And people would start using, you know, high-end graphics cards. And it would cycle like this. And that's kind of what we're doing with DSPs and telephony too. We kind of started out with doing everything in... Well, actually, we started out doing everything analog. We didn't have, you know, a whole lot of digital stuff. We've gone through a cycle of digital signal processing, and we're heading towards a cycle of host processing. And it's just kind of an interesting thing to notice. So other projects that I should really mention. Let me just see if I have a slide on that. Oh, really? That was rude. Okay, so other projects that I should mention are... no, that's cool. Asterisk, which is a Linux and FreeBSD compatible-based PBX type system. Asterisk is a sort of an all-in-one server. It will do primarily switching and primarily uses the channel bank methodology currently that I described to you before, where you have a computer controlling an interface that's a channel bank. It's a little different. A channel bank is a piece of equipment that you might buy from Adtran or somebody like that, whereas a computer telephony card is something you'd stick in a computer. It's not a standalone box. You get a little bit more flexibility maybe with a standalone computer, but it's a viable, what they're doing is a viable way of doing things, and it's a very interesting project. You can purchase switching equipment that runs Asterisk. I should also mention Vocal, which is an entire suite of voice over IP-based applications. It's actually by a company that was bought by Cisco. So they're a considerable force in open source within Cisco, and all their stuff is based on a session protocol called SIP. For a long time, there was a controversy between two protocols for voice over IP. Well, not that long, but... there was this controversy, and you know, there are different camps. SIP is the more recent protocol. H323 is the older one. H323 is complex as hell, and it's an ITU protocol. SIP is really simple, ASCII-based, IETF protocol. At least it was. Now it's getting more and more complicated. So you know, IETF stuff at least starts out kind of cool and simple. But it's not really that simple anymore. So the base out there is H323, but everybody's developing SIP stuff. We're going to show you an H323 thing because it's just what we're using. Let's see, what other good H323 client, Gnomo phone, and a Gnome meeting. Gnome meeting is basically an equivalent to Microsoft NetMeeting. H323, like I said, is a complex protocol. It covers everything from whiteboard to video to audio. It covers little talking heads if you wanted to have a little talking head appear and how the mouth would move if you didn't want your face to appear. You name it. So anyway, GNOME meeting and net meeting support, you know, a small fraction of that stuff and are compatible. The only thing that's not compatible, and we're kind of getting back around to the same problem we mentioned before, is the default codec that NetMeeting uses is proprietary codec. So you have to set up NetMeeting to use an open codec, which the GNOME meeting people have kindly created a one-button installer for. So you download GNOME meeting, you can get that, send it to your friends at NetMeeting, they'll be using an open codec. Still be compatible with whatever else they're using probably. How you doing? Okay, I'm going to give Jason the mic. This is Jason Spence. He's not only working on Bayonne and H323 apps, but he also works on a lot of drivers, and he's working on our next switching and gatekeeper, Ipswitch.
Hi, I'm Jason, and I'm a technical consultant with Open Source Telecom Corporation, the company that Rich and I work for. What I have here is I have NetMeeting running on my laptop. Sorry. What I have here is I have NetMeeting running on my laptop, and NetMeeting is going to establish an H323 connection to a program named PSTN Gateway on this machine, which listens on TCP port 1720. Once the session is established, they're going to start sending UDP packets with audio data between them, and, well, you'll see. Over here on your right, you should see PSTN Gateway calling this phone here. Where's my... Hold on. Rich is going to say hi. There's a lot of different hardware you can choose for doing voice over IP. A lot of it's very expensive. That's just the way the market is. People are used to paying for telephone service. The internet has a lot very different economics. People are used to getting things for free. There's a problem with the telephone industry these days in that it's become so competitive that it's no longer possible for the telephone company to provide the quality of service that we've been used to over the past 10 years. So you have issues like in San Francisco. Maybe does anybody here live in San Francisco? I'm sure you're familiar with the problems getting DSL in some of the high density areas. Okay. Well, the telephone company provides a connection to their network using copper. Now, this copper sometimes ends up below the water table, and it gets soaked, and you get a bad connection. Your DSL goes down. Your phone connections get crackly. Now, these days, we have 802.11. In San Francisco, there are huge wireless networks being put up by communities and volunteers. These serve the same purpose that the phone company does. They provide a connection to the network and allow people to send data between two endpoints on the network. Now, we're starting a program called Open Telco. Open Telco is a community-run telephone network. It takes advantage of internet economics and inexpensive telephony hardware done by companies like Voicetronics in order to enable you to do toll bypass using H323. You can get more information about Open Telco at, I think we might have a link on our website. I found out when we set up today that we don't have internet access up here, so I can't show you on the laptop, but. Well, that's right. You can get more information about Open Telco at the Unix Surplus booth tomorrow in the vendor area.
So I guess we're over time, but I've got a few other little things I just want to explain, because I assume there are some application developers out there. Damn, I just had it. Okay, so, I wanted to explain the next, I found it, process of elimination. The next step for GNUcom is actually to allow developers of applications that have nothing to do with our telephony servers to use a simple API to develop. Basically, we have this thing called Fritter, and that's an API library that has extremely simple commands like open device, dial, play, stuff like CC script, only in an API method. You get callbacks and so forth. Then we've got a protocol that is corresponding called Glazed. And the protocol can broker API commands from your application. Say it's a calendar app, and it's supposed to page people at a certain time or call them all to, do a teleconference or whatever. If you have telephony resources on your box, you would just use a library like Fritter with your calendaring app to talk to, say, your voice modem or something. If you have telephony resources, say, in the next office, a big Bayon server running your phone system, you would probably have to use Fritter and Glazed, which would protocol the API to Bayon. So that's kind of the next step. The other thing that we're kind of excited about doing is Bayon NG, which is our next generation voice response server, has split out, largely split out, all of its drivers for the many cards that it supports, and it supports most of the cards that are supported on open source systems. And we're going to split out that as a standalone library that you can use in your applications as well, and that we can use throughout GNUcom, and we call that PhoneStreamer Junior. There was a more advanced attempt at that called PhoneStreamer that was based on GStreamer. It actually did everything, multiplexed audio and so forth, but it turned out to be a little heavyweight and complex, so we're going to start out with the library. So that's the main thing. So if anyone with big tits wants this box, it stands alone. It is I don't know, you're going to have to show us. This is sad. We only have one. Wait a minute. Those are about dimes, maybe. I have no idea. That's part of it. It's just a surprise. Yeah. We'll settle for big nipples. There's a SCSI card on the back and VGA. It's got to be worth something. It's one of the high density adapters there. Okay, so we're going to take this down to the Unix Surplus booth, and you can go ahead and claim it there if you're the person with the biggest nipples today. So the box will be down there. I hope you enjoyed the talk. I know our hacks on the video system were annoying, but that's what we do. So what's that? Yeah, GNUcom.org, and you should be able to get everything from there. Let me point at it with the pointer. I hope I'm actually pointing at something. Am I? GNUCOM? GNUCOMM? See that? See that little X there? It's moving around. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so GNUCOM.org. Got it. And actually, I'm willing to take questions until they kick us out. So, who's got questions? Oh, geez, yeah. Oh, wow. All right, we got to give you something else, man. We have a bag of Chips Ahoy here, if you'd like a cookie. Anybody who asks a question from now on gets a Chips Ahoy. That card, if you've got a card, wait and listen to this. That card I can buy in bulk for $5. And it's a host processing modem. It's a tiny little modem that doesn't do anything much. All it has is a line interface and a tiny little DSP that will generate and detect DTMF. And, you know, it'll buffer audio back and forth from the phone line to the PCI bus. Now, a number of people have worked on this in the past and had some success in using it as a $5 computer telephony card. But progress has really stalled on it. And frankly, I don't have the time, and you've seen my code, I don't have the skill to make this thing a viable alternative for hackers who want to set up a phone system that can do anything one of these more expensive cards can do for $5. But it would really improve the ability, or it would make developing phone applications more accessible if somebody would finish off the open source driver for that. It's been reverse engineered. Almost completely. Enough to do all the stuff we want to do. What's that? Yeah. Somebody was saying something. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, that was before the DMCA. It wasn't me. I'm only joking. Come have a cookie and we'll talk. You. Oh, geez, I didn't even mention those. CMU wrote a great open source voice recognition system and a great text-to-speech system. They're pretty killer. Sphinx is the name, as in the Sphinx, Egypt, of the voice recognition system. It doesn't have a big vocabulary, but it will certainly work for a lot of these applications if you just wanted to recognize numbers and a discrete set of data. Speech recognition's got a few problems. Festival is a great text-to-speech engine that's totally open source. It's got a lot of language support. The guys who wrote it actually have a company. They'll make custom voices for you for Festival. So if you want a voice that sounds just like, you know, Knight Rider or... I was trying to get him to do Wizards of War, but the Max, yeah, that kind of stuff. Alec Guinness, whatever. So it's called Sepstral, their company, and it's really cool. And these guys are doing some great work. They still support the open source stuff. And yeah, there's lots of good software out there for that. Yeah. You can, but some of it is easier than other stuff. Like Bayonne, for voice response, we've got this system that people make write applications, you know, quick. For doing things like routers and switches, we haven't got there yet. Jason's working on one called Ipswitch. We'll probably have a prototype out, you know, real soon now. There are relatively inexpensive cards. Generally, these cards here, by the way, they cost, you know, well over $100 per port. So you buy a 12-port card, you're probably spending, you know, $100 to $200 per port, you know, maybe $2,000. And some of them go way higher. Yeah. A female. Are we talking about the box here? Males count. Yeah. Okay. yeah, these cards, basically, for instance, let's take an example. The V12 PCI is generally referred to as a PBX card. Each group of four ports on it, it's a 12-port card, is switchable as either trunk or station. So you can have eight phones and four trunk lines to the telco, or 12 trunk lines, 12 station lines, the other way around, whatever you want. And a lot of them do work that way. That's kind of a good way to do it, to jumper them. Doing it in software is really dangerous. You don't want to have the phone company, send 100 volts into your station side interface usually. So, no, that's a trunk side thing. That'll allow you to do, say, voice response and so forth. There's also a little tiny, Pavel Machek wrote a little tiny voice over IP client for an old version of a reverse engineered driver for that. It's pretty cool. Yeah, behind that guy. Does the what support? Oh, Bayon? Yeah, sure. Caller ID, yeah, Annie. Yeah, basically anything these cards support, we've probably implemented a feature for. The guys with the biggest feature set are Intel Dialogic, and we haven't implemented all of that. But there are people working on it. Where's the laser pointer? Oh, I'm sorry, dude. Maybe it's in my pocket. I stole somebody's laser pointer. No, okay. Yeah, who else? You. You know what? The software that we're writing, we started on a voice modem driver and never finished it, and that is probably the biggest pain in our butt that we've just never taken care of, is finishing the voice modem driver. It's not that hard. We can basically talk AT commands. There are just a few, maybe a day of coding or 2 days of coding to finish that driver. And we get that on the mailing list all day long, so I have no idea why we haven't finished it. Sorry, dude.
Did we give this away?
Yeah, we gave this away, and the dude took off. Wow. I wonder if he's going to send me the document. Is the guy who won this still here? He's not going to send me the document. Does anybody else have that document from SGI about the Wheel of Reincarnation?
It's in the document.
No? Okay. Has anybody here ever delivered a Ninja Burger? Has anyone ever received a Ninja Burger? Okay. Is anyone willing to deliver a Ninja Egg Foo Young? This is a cool system. Very compact. Being a nice... All right. Our Ninja. Come and get it. Woo! All right. So, who? Oh, the goon. Oh. All right, we've been told to shut up. So, I guess that's it. If you guys have questions, you can ask us afterwards. Thanks, man.